it was a big learning experience for everybody involved, because firepower becomes so great that the one on defense had a big advantage. So the war is very fluid right at the beginning, and Germany took a lot of territory, and then it's fluid again at the end when two things happened. Germany got reinforced by the bringing 2 million soldiers from the Eastern Front because Russia collapsed, which Germany helped to make happen, put the Bolsheviks in. But then they moved, right? But then in the First World War, any army that was on the offensive for a long time would eventually break. They all did. They just couldn't go anymore. There were mutinies. The German army was starting to mutiny in 1918. And then the Americans were coming in, and they saved the day. And the German army collapsed so suddenly that they didn't get pushed all the way back. Now, in between those two fluid times, there's trenches that go from the Alps to the sea. There's no way around them. And if you go over them, you're going to have an extremely high body count.
Millions of people die trying to gain miles of ground.
That's right. And usually losing it the next day. And they tore the heck out of the ground and each other. And they didn't change things very much for about 4 years. So Churchill was looking for a way around. And he's got this navy. And he wants it to make the difference. And so the idea is born. We will go into all that. But there are debates about how to go around. And the British had been interested for a long time in taking some islands off the German coast, either in the Baltic or on the other side. And Churchill liked that for a long time. The island he liked the best was called Borkum. And they thought if they could take an island and you know, put a bunch of stuff there and defend it with their navy, then they could land troops anytime they wanted to in Germany behind the German lines, break up those trenches, right? Well, the way that was finally adopted, and Churchill was not the first, Fisher actually came around to this idea before Churchill did, was to go all the way down through the Mediterranean and then force by ships, one school of thought by ships alone, one school of thought ships and troops. They eventually tried both. And join hands with the Russians and get the capacity to put major armies in the Black Sea, reinforce the Russians, and fallen yet, and complicate the lives of Germany endlessly. And so that was tried. And the point about it was, well, I can quote the passage in particular. This is Churchill. Wars are won by a combination of slaughter and maneuver. The greater the general, the more he contributes in maneuver, and the less he extracts in slaughter. I'll paraphrase from here. If war is only the dreary process of exchanging a life for a life, then generals do not deserve the esteem they enjoy. So see, he's trying to find another way. He's trying to save his country. And it's an example of the richness of his soul that he's not, you know, Churchill is dead a long time now, and so there've been, and he's very important, and so there's waves of the way people portray him. And so one way, one recurring theme is warmonger. He just liked war. You know, he did like war in a way. He was very good at it. But also, he was a patriot, and he was always trying to mitigate its cost.
And when we come back next week, we're getting close to the opening shots. But we're not there yet. We're a couple of years away. But even now, he's trying to prepare for what is coming. And I hope everyone is thinking about China and thinking the same way. How do you prevent it from starting or winning it quickly if it does? Dr. Larry Arnn, thank you so much. Hillsdale.edu. Every Hillsdale Dialogue is there, and you can sign up for Imprimis, and you can get your application.
But you absolutely, positively need the truth. This is where you turn. This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I just had retired from union carpenter, so my body was a little wore out. My shoulders were hurting. Like, I eat potatoes and stuff, but I wasn't getting all the vegetables, right? So I started thinking about that. And because there's no compounds, it's just all natural. It's not like vitamins you buy at the store where you read the ingredients and there's like all different things. I don't even know how to pronounce the names that are in these vitamins. But this Balance of Nature is just all natural stuff, no artificial things. So I thought, I'll give that a try. You know, the stuff works. So now you guys made it easy for me to stay healthy.
Happy National Fruits and Veggies Month. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer today to receive $35 off your first order. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code HUGH.
This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
If your bank account is causing you headaches, switch to One Nevada Credit Union. With 46,000 free ATMs, innovative mobile apps, and convenient local branches, you can kiss your banker goodbye forever. Open an account online today or find a local branch at onenevada.org.
One Nevada Credit Union. Our one focus is you.
One Nevada is open to all Clark County residents. Federally insured by the NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. If you get hurt in a crash, did you know your lawyer can take more money than you? You get hurt and the lawyer gets rich. Not very fair, is it? I promise never to take more money than you.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
Some restrictions apply.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Large blue cities dealing with a flood of illegal immigrants face multiple challenges, extending beyond finding a place to house them all.
New York City's shelter system was especially overwhelmed, but Mayor Eric Adams says the city's nearly 1,900 schools are well prepared to welcome migrant children into the classrooms. Others say there still is not enough resources to go around, with more than 91,000 arrests in August, making it the busiest month ever for apprehensions of migrant families with children crossing the southern border. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Biden administration reportedly considering a remain in Texas policy for illegals, indefinitely barring some of them from leaving the state. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is having none of it. In his words, this scam was tried years ago and was shot down by a judge. Abbott is also vowing to send even more busloads of illegal aliens to Washington, D.C. Have an Apple device? Well, it's time to lock it down.
Apple has released a new security update for iPhones and iPads described as significant. It's to patch newly discovered vulnerabilities in the system's software. Researchers at the University of Toronto's Citizen Lab found them. They say the software flaw is being actively exploited to deliver commercial spyware called Pegasus, developed and sold by the Israeli company NSO Group. Pegasus is typically used to target dissidents, journalists, and political opponents, so ordinary users likely have little to fear. Still, Citizen Lab recommends all users immediately update their devices. I'm Ben Thomas.
President Biden is arriving in India, where he will attend the two-day G20 summit. On Wall Street, ahead of this morning's opening bell, the Dow futures are down 6 points, NASDAQ futures off 4, and the S&P futures up a fraction. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. Step up your grilling game with our Solaire Portable Infrared Grills. Our
compact everywhere is a favorite of RVers and trailer pullers. Solaire Infrared provides the quick sear for bar marks and texture needed to properly finish sous vide. Use a portable alongside your larger conventional grill to create an instant sear zone and more juicy and flavorful food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com. Affordable, powerful.
This is your KMZQ News Flash. Preparations for the inaugural Las Vegas Grand Prix include removing trees along the sidewalk in front of the Fountains of Bellagio. Now, those trees are being taken out to improve viewing for the grandstands that are planned for over those fountains during the race weekend, which will run November 16th through the 18th. MGM Resorts officials say some of the removed trees will be replanted after the race, while others are being permanently removed. The Bellagio Fountain Club is a three-day race ticket that will include access to a private indoor and rooftop club, along with the views from the grandstands, meet and greets with F1 ambassadors, and all-inclusive food and beverage privileges. All of that for just more than $11,000 per ticket. Three companies that are relative newcomers to Las Vegas joining forces to bring sports and entertainment brands to Southern Nevada. Madison Square Garden Entertainment, Sphere Entertainment, and Oakview Group have formed Crown Properties Collection, the company that will manage the marquee partnerships. Jay Volker, the former vice president of business development for the PGA Tour, has joined Oakview Group, that is, and will be president of Crown Properties. Oakview is planning to build a $10 billion resort complex at Blue Diamond and Las Vegas Boulevard that will include an NBA-ready arena. And you've got one more chance to help celebrate the success of the Henderson Little League All-Stars. The city holding a parade in their honor. That parade happens tomorrow morning at 10, beginning at the team's home field at Mission Hills Park, and ends with a party at Water Street Plaza. The Henderson All-Stars qualified for the most recent Little League World Series after winning the Mountain Region Championship. Not only lost the first game at Williamsport, but they won two more before being knocked out by Nolensville, Tennessee. Job well done again. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
On Facebook, I saw someone posted...
It's going to turn you into a zombie.
Created by the government.
They're going to plant a chip into your body.
It's the mark of the beast.
This is fake.
Misinformation is just about as bad as the pandemic itself.
This information is easy. You don't see the harm it does.
COVID taught us health matters.
Stop the spread of misinformation.
Health matters. Visit nmhec.org. This message funded by a grant through the Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Minority Health and Equity and Aid and Cooperation by the Nevada Broadcasters Association and the station.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
Yeah, some early morning struggles on our Valley freeways. The big problem spot's going to be I-15 northbound through the resort corridor. As you approach the 95 interchange there on I-15 northbound, you want to stay to the right. The left side of the freeway is blocked there because of an accident. That's 15 northbound approaching 95, left side of the roadway. Also on the other side of the interchange going into North Las Vegas, accident on 15 northbound after Lake Mead Boulevard. That's on the left shoulder. Overnight fatal accident on the west side streets, Fort Apache, north of Flamingo. It is closed down and will be for a while. Use Durango or Hualapai instead. Again, this is Fort Apache, north of Flamingo. Triple digits return to the valley this weekend. Sunny and clear with afternoon highs near 101 today. It's already 79 degrees. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settle. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is... I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
From the king of the world!
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out.
ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Friday, September 8th. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you until 9 o'clock today. It is live and local. It is everything you need to know to get your day started, to be functioning at work or with friends at lunch. You'll be fully informed by the time we are done at 9 o'clock. One of the things we do on Friday is we celebrate what we like to call the best day of the week. And here it is. Well, maybe not. Here we go.
Oh, man, what day is it?
It's Friday.
Friday.
Wall to wall.
It's Friday.
Oh, yeah. It's Friday. It's the best day of the week. It's the day that we let our hair down. We have a little fun. We're going to do that over the course of the next 3 hours, I promise you. He is one of the most engaging personalities on cable news. The problem is he's not on cable news anymore. He is Tucker Carlson. And Chadwick Moore is joining us now. He is the author of the book Tucker, a biography of Tucker Carlson. It is one of the weird stories, because there are like 1,000 stories of what happened and why Tucker Carlson is no longer on Fox News. I'm not sure any of them are exactly accurate, but let's check in with Chadwick Moore. Chadwick, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Kevin, happy Friday. Good to be with you.
Happy Friday. Maybe you can shed some light on this. There seem to be a bunch of different stories on why Tucker is no longer on Fox News Channel, where he was the highest-rated primetime personality in cable news. Do you have anything to share on that?
Well, it's at this point, and I think we realized this in July when Fox, in one fell swoop, fired his entire team, which is very unusual because this producer is the highest-performing group of producers in all of cable news. When you're hired, you're not hired to work for a show. You're hired to work for a network. So if your show gets taken off the air, you move to another network or another show. Fox fired all of them. And that was, about 9 people at that point. So I think that added to the theory, which I think is absolutely true, that it was completely ideological, 100% ideological. Now, who did he rub the wrong way? Was it Paul Ryan, who's on the board of Fox? Was it one of these companies that has a controlling interest in Fox? Like BlackRock or one of these people? Was it the Murdochs? I don't know. Or was it just, this buildup of pressure? I think that it's absolutely clear it's ideological. I think that Fox News hates Trump. They don't want him to be the nominee, and they don't want him to be the president. They didn't want it in 2016. And now they have Tucker on a leash. He's still an employee of Fox News. He's still getting paid every week. He's still under contract. Fox won't let him out of his contract. And conveniently, that contract ends 1 month after the next presidential election.
Wow, what a coincidence. Let me just add, was this thing a slow buildup? Was there one or two things that happened, January 6th, for instance, that kind of triggered this move by Fox?
Well, it's a great question. And, who's to say? I think January 6th is certainly one of a handful of topics that he covered in a way that upset a lot of very powerful people. You know, let's not forget that the left was trying to get Tucker canceled forever. They constantly staged boycotts against him, advertiser boycotts, etc. But it wasn't the left that canceled him. It was the right. So I guess, the neocons, if you can call them the right. January 6th was one of those topics that he was the only person in mainstream media who was really digging into it and asking questions that nobody else would ask. Another one would be Ukraine. I asked Tucker explicitly, because I we were still working on this book after the show got taken off the air, and I got to interview him several times after that and put it in the book. And I explicitly asked him about Ukraine because I felt, that might have been it. And he told me that, he never felt – he said, the Murdochs are – they're big Zelensky people. They definitely want war with Russia. They They love what's happening in Ukraine. But he said that, you know, they were happy to disagree. And he said that he felt, you know, very lucky to have bosses like that who let him disagree. Now, whether or not that was just talk and in the end it proved not to be true, I don't know. But I think Ukraine, January 6th, you know, his stance on ESG, Big Pharma, any number of these very powerful industries or topics that very powerful people have interest in could have been it, or all of them combined.
Again, joining us, Chadwick Moore. He is the author of Tucker, a biography of Tucker Carlson. And I'm just curious as far as Fox News Channel, what has happened to Fox? It used to be they were a reliable, conservative cable TV network. Now it's gone the other way. What has happened to Fox News? Chadwick, are you with us?
You know, yeah, Roger, it's definitely not the network that Ailes built. Ailes was, you know, a really incredible man and beloved by everyone at that network, and he built that network. Since then, it's sort of been taken over by other forces. I think that the bigger picture is that Fox still, you know, people say, like, why would they do this themselves? Why would they cripple themselves? Why would they get rid of Tucker? It seems so stupid. It makes no sense. And the answer that I get from everyone, both current employees and many former talent and et cetera, is that management is just absolutely completely stupid. And they view themselves as a Fox News of 20 years ago. They view themselves as unbeatable, as this juggernaut. And they really look down on their audience. They sort of think these people are stupid. They'll watch us no matter what, and we can do anything we want. They failed to sort of realize that Tucker Carlson had become a movement. You know, he was just more than just a cable news host. They sort of looked at it and they thought, well, we've gotten rid of Bill O'Reilly, we've gotten rid of Megyn Kelly, Glenn Beck, any number of people, and we've been fine. Tucker's no different. Get rid of him. We'll be fine. But I think what's obvious now is that Tucker was very different, and I don't think the network's going to recover from that.
What has happened to their numbers? I know in the early going, they took a huge hit, and I mean a large, major hit when it comes to ratings. What has happened since then?
Oh, a huge hit. I mean, it was like, numbers-wise, it was like three Bud Lights. They were down like 64% in their viewership. So since the summer, since about July, they've had a modest bump, but nothing like with Tucker. There's still about 2 million fewer viewers during primetime than they were with Tucker Carlson. There was a time when Tucker's on the air that the top nine shows on cable news, eight of them were Fox. And one was Rachel Maddow. Now, I mean, Fox is competing with MSNBC and CNN to be in the top five. I mean, it's still continuing to be a huge hit to Fox. I don't think people are coming back. I think Tucker was sort of artificially propping up not only relevance of Fox News, but all of cable in many ways.
A lot of us most of us in media have been fired in various ways. You know, nice ways, not so nice ways, anymore by text, all kinds of things that have happened. How did the end come for Tucker at Fox News Channel?
So he was totally blindsided. They still haven't given him a reason why they took his show off the air. They've left him to speculate. But it happened on the Monday of April 24th. He'd already written his monologue for that day. He got a phone call from Fox News President Suzanne Scott, and it happened to be the six-year anniversary of his show moving into the 8 p.m. time slot. So Suzanne Scott rings him up. He thinks she's calling to congratulate him on this anniversary, and she just simply says, we're taking your show off the air. Goodbye. Thank you very much. Click. At the same time, two other Fox executives were calling Justin Wells, who's Tucker's executive producer, to tell him he was fired, and that's it. That's all Tucker knows. They've not told him anything else. They've totally left him in the dark about it, and that's how it all went down.
What I'm just curious, what happened to the team? Is the team still together in some way? Have they found other gigs? What?
Oh, yeah, they're all of them are back with Tucker. So he and I believe he's paying them out of his own pocket. He's doing, like, some shows on Twitter. Of course, he's bound by his contract about what he's able to do and where he can appear. From what I understand, is Fox failed to include Twitter in their non-compete, which is why he's doing the show on Twitter. But all of them, you know, his team was super close, they all had a job waiting for them with Tucker. So they're all back together and working with him. Once he's freed up from his Fox contract, he can start doing bigger and better things and you know, have bring everyone back. I think about nine of them are with him now.
I was fascinated by something you said earlier in the interview that he had written his monologue already. Did he write most of what we saw on Fox News?
Yes, those A-block monologues he was so famous for, that's all Tucker. He wrote all of that. And Tucker comes from print. He's a print guy. He comes from magazines and newspapers. And he kind of stumbled into television. But at his core, and I found this writing the book, is he's a deeply literary guy. He loves to write. He loves to read. He can talk about books and authors. And I think that really shows. And you can tell, if you watch closely enough, that those A-block monologues are all him. And they'd have to be. You can see that it's he wouldn't write about something he wasn't passionate about, and even half of that is ad libbed when he's live. He'll write it up, and then he'll be ad libbing as he's going along, and things will come to him live on air.
Chadwick, what happens next for Tucker Carlson, and which direction is he going to go, and when is he done with Fox News?
So he's obviously had a lot of offers from people, but he wants to be his own boss. He's done working for someone else. He and his team have started raising capital to start their own media company. He's working with Neil Patel, who is the man who he founded the Daily Caller with. The last time he was fired from a cable news channel, he started the Daily Caller with Neil Patel, who's his best friend and college roommate. And they're out raising money for their next venture. What Justin, Tucker's executive producer, tells me is that people can look forward to seeing a lot more Tucker than they ever did on Fox when they get this new thing off the ground. But again, they're trying to get out of this contract with Fox. If Fox has their way, Tucker will be, handcuffed until December 2024. They're, from what I understand, still in, legal disputes, and Tucker's trying to get out of it, but Fox doesn't want to let him go for some strange reason. The network that preaches about free speech wants their former number one talent to be silent.
Will Elon Musk be a part of that? I know he is the short-term fix because he's not included in the non-compete, but might he be a long-term solution as well, a partnership between Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson?
I'm not certain of that, but I would say no, just based on how Tucker's expressed to me about wanting to be totally independent. I don't think that he would want to be beholden to someone like Elon, as wonderful as Elon can be. But currently, he's not getting paid by Elon Musk. He's not an employee of Twitter. I don't believe he's making any kind of money off those Twitter shows.
What about a distribution arm? Cable news, it's there. There's Newsmax. There's MSNBC. There's CNN. Will there be a Tucker Carlson network? I mean, does he want to be that big?
I'm not sure. I imagine what they're thinking is something similar to Daily Wire or Blaze or one of the internet companies. Interestingly, when he was at Fox, there was talk of starting a Tucker Carlson network through Fox. It was sort of common knowledge at the network, and the executives kind of eventually stepped in and said, no, we think that's a bad idea. We're going to give you two shows on Fox Nation instead. We think Fox Nation is the future, so do that. Fox may have really missed the boat on that one once again, because their executives aren't the brightest people. And speaking of Fox Nation, I'm not sure if anyone's really subscribing to that anymore after they got rid of Tucker.
Indeed. Let me just ask you, going forward, have you seen a change in Tucker Carlson after leaving Fox? A lot of times we identify with our jobs, and it impacts us emotionally. Have you seen any change in Tucker since leaving Fox and going independent?
Great question. And yeah, I think I have. I think he seems I think he's a little disoriented by the lack of structure. I think he's been so accustomed to that corporate media world for a long time. So I think that's a little disorienting for him. But I think he's had time to get a lot of perspective and sit back. I think he's happy. I think he's very happy. And I think we're about to see, I think that April 24th, 2023, and my book ends 2 weeks after that, I think was sort of the end of the Tucker Carlson origin story. I think that was the end, and now there's going to be a new beginning. I think millions of people are waiting to see exactly what that looks like.
How can people find Tucker, the biography of Tucker Carlson? How can they find it?
You can go to Tucker, the book